Hallelujah.
As we were discussing before, we know that we were going through prophecies. So we're just going to believe God that is going to, we're going to go through the book of Daniel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what the Lord actually laid upon my heart as I started going to the book of Samuel or Daniel, today we're going to first talk about prophecy, fulfilling of prophecies. It's what we got, and I want it to be a discussion. I will only say some few things and then throw it open for questions, for comments and so on, so that we can start it up afresh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Prophecies, you know what I'm talking about when I say fulfilling of prophecies. This is what the Lord put on my mind, that we need to look at prophecies that were in the Bible before we go to the book of Daniel and see the prophecies Daniel saw and he gave to us, how those prophecies in the Bible were fulfilled, the one that we can tell that, oh, this one was fulfilled. I want to compare and see some parallel, some similarities, how simple sometimes the prophecy may come in one format, but we human beings have a tendency of exaggerating, imagining that it's going to be like this big thing, and then when it comes up, it may be very simple, and in simplicity like that, people miss it. And there are so many examples of that kind of prophecies in the Bible that I want us to discuss today before we go into the prophecies of Daniel, because it's going to help us when we begin to talk about the future. Now, the prophecies I'm talking about now, the one that we can look back into history and see that, okay, that one fulfilled. But look at how it was prophesied. But look how simple it was when it was fulfilled, when we look back at history. And it will help us when we begin to look at the ones that have not been fulfilled, that we are looking in the future, or we are thinking it might be occurring in our time. And that is the one that we want to use these examples to analyze and see that it may not be as we have been imagining it's going to happen this big way. It can simply come in the same simplicity. And one first one I'm going to, and you can now begin to think of prophecies in your mind that you know in the Bible it was recorded as such, and then you give us the Bible verse where it was prophesied and where it was fulfilled. And that is what we're going to first discuss today before we go to the book of Daniel. The first one that comes to my mind is seen in the book of Isaiah, chapter 39. Let's look at that prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 39. And you also see the same prophecy in 2 Kings, chapter 20. Somebody can read 2 Kings, chapter 20, and Isaiah, chapter 39. This is just prophecies in the Bible that we can look back and see how it fulfilled itself. Now, in Isaiah chapter 39, this is the story of Hezekiah. When Hezekiah was king, it was reported that after he almost died and the Lord delivered him, in verse 1 of that, this is the prophecy by, as Isaiah wrote it down, you can see the same story in 2 Kings chapter 20. He said, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things. Now, I will not read the rest of the story. I'm just going to point to the Bible verse where Isaiah came to meet them. This king of Babylon came, sent the ambassadors to Hezekiah to greet him because he had been sick and he has recovered. And then Hezekiah gave the ambassadors a tour of the kingdom, all his palaces and all the things he had. Verse 3 said, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said this man, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they have come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Now, verse 6 is the prophecy. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And that was the prophecy given to Hezekiah. Think of how that sounded. And let's just see when it was fulfilled, and in a simple way, or somebody could hear that prophecy and imagine that it's going to be this and it could be that. But in the book of Daniel, when it fulfilled itself, Daniel chapter 1, remember he said, some of your children will be eunuchs in the king, in the palace of the king of Babylon. In Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 1, here is the story of how Daniel and some of these Israelites were taken to Babylon, and they became, some of them were made eunuchs, or if mostly or some of these guys. In verse 1 of Daniel chapter 1, it said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Let me jump to verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So in short, this is where it was fulfilled, that Daniel and some of these children of Israel were taken to the palace of the king of Babylon. They were made eunuchs. How do you know they were made eunuchs? Because he was talking to the master of his eunuchs. And most of those people that were servants in that place, they have to be made eunuchs. So many people believe Daniel and some of all these guys that were brought, young people, they were made eunuchs. So that was a prophecy by Isaiah fulfilled in that format. And when it was fulfilled, he just took them like they were already conquered. They just gang up some teenagers and took them to the palace and fed them for 3 years and went through this simple thing. Okay, that is one example. Let's look at any other prophecy that come to mind. Anybody? Give me some prophecies you can tell of in the Bible and let's see where it was fulfilled. And we're going to see just some patterns, how prophecy can be simple or difficult.
Isaiah 7:14.
Okay, read it up, bro. Okay. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 is what Abura said.
That says that say, let me just read 13 for second. Good word there. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel.
Now, where is that fulfilled? Can anybody remember where that was fulfilled?
Luke chapter 1. Matthew also.
Yeah, we know that was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin.
Yes.
But see how that prophecy came so simple? Many thousands of years before that occurred, and they said a virgin shall conceive. People will be looking around and say, will it be next month, next year? They were looking for a virgin to conceive, but it took many thousands, hundreds of years before this one really was fulfilled. So sometimes we can see some patterns of similarities in how the prophecies may come and how people can be imagining what do you think, how do you think it should be happened. Any other prophecies?
The answer to that is also okay. Luke chapter 2.
Read that
verse. Luke chapter 2 verse 2, where the angel was testifying that the child was born. Or shall I read where she was actually brought forth as well in cross? For unto us this day in verse 11, Luke chapter 2, 11, for unto us this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So that is the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Yeah, that verse 27 said, it was angel was sent to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And then when Mary asked,
that's chapter 1,
yeah, that's chapter 1. Okay, so we know that a virgin was conceived and had a baby, and that was fulfilled right there. Any other one?
Here is a prophecy that the Lord himself gave. This time wasn't the prophet, per se. But in Genesis, actually I wanted to give two, but I'll just give this one. I was going to first give the seed of the woman. But let me give this one that he spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, God was talking to Abraham, and in verse 1 he told him, I am your shield and exceeding great reward, and so on. And then Abraham said, well, you know, I'm without a child and so forth, and you know, the steward in my house, he was complaining about all that. So the word of the Lord came to him in verse 4. He said, well, this one's not going to be your heir, but the one that shall come out of your bowels, you know, will be your heir and all that. So finally, and this was before he even had any child, so God told him in verse 13, and he said unto Abraham, this is the prophecy that I actually want to read. God said unto Abraham in verse 13 of Genesis 15, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and shall be afflicted of them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance, and so on and so forth. So, and we know that this particular prophecy was fulfilled. It took many chapters in Genesis later, from the story of Joseph, from chapters 39, clear on through the end of Genesis, how Joseph was sold into Egypt, and eventually the long story of how his family came to be in Egypt, and so on and so forth. And even though Joseph at that time got favor and God promoted him, you know, out of prison and all of that, and became vice regent in the land. But later, when the Pharaoh that knew him died, another Pharaoh came that didn't know him and began to torment his the people of Israel, and they went into slavery for all those hundreds of years, just like the Lord prophesied, until God sent Moses to deliver them, and they came out with great substance that they took from Egypt, and God punished that nation, just like he said here.
Praise the Lord. That is, you will see the fulfillment of that also, that chapter 15 that I brought read. In, you know, God mentioned 400 years. Is that what God said in Genesis chapter 15?
Yeah.
And you see it in Exodus chapter 12. So that we can see sometimes God make it showing to us the simplicity and the timing, the exact timing when God is involved, is precision. Precision. That is, when he said it's going to be so many hundred years, it's going to be that, so many hundred years. He told Abraham they will be servants in a land that does not belong to them for 400 and something years, what did you say?
Yes.
400 years. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, Moses recorded it. He said, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass," verse 41, "at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." So, are you sure it's the self same day? Well, Moses wrote it's the self same day. And if they came in on Monday, they left on Monday. That's what it meant to me. The self same day, 430 years. Precision. So we have to also think about that. God, sometimes we give those promises and he watches over it. Where you said they could have left earlier on. You know, Moses, we do not know how long these plagues in Egypt took. And God said, just keep going to Pharaoh, keep going to Pharaoh. But precision, when it was the right time, he said 430 years and they left. Amen. Any other one?
But I want to ask you a question on that one.
Amen.
Why did they spend 30 more years? You know.
Well, that's a good question. Why did they?
Was the Lord just? I mean, was it just? Did he just say 400? I mean, what exactly did he? I mean, because he said 400 years, but they spent 430 years.
Well, I've not even thought about that to say. Well, we have to know. He said they will be there. They will serve them 400 years. Remember that. But we do not know whether the 30 years before they even started serving, the Bible said that they were enjoying some good things before another Pharaoh came who knew no Joseph. So who knows whether those extra years were not part of suffering. But God simply, well, we can also say, well, we really don't know why it was 30 more years. Or do you have any opinion why you think they are starting more years? Yeah. I've never thought about it to say, is it 430 or 400 years? Should it be exactly? But I thought about it that way.
You want to say something?
I mean, I think like you really
go
explained
ahead.
It.
But I do have an opinion. But go ahead.
You said it. You said serve them. Before then, they were not serving them. They were there.
Yeah.
I mean, to save their lives from destruction and famine that was in the.
They were enjoying them.
Yeah, they were enjoying. They didn't. It was after it. Why then things started happening?
Oh, in the
Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. So I think that kind of explains it on my part,
so
just the way you said.
An opinion?
Yes, and I was looking for the scripture where, you know, when Jacob came, he was a certain age, and by the time he died, and all of that in a few years, I think that actually makes up, I can't find it right now.
Genesis chapter 49, 15.
It was about 120 years or so and so forth. I think that actually makes up the difference. You know, that was, I had a similar opinion too, that they were there for about 430 years, but I think the first several years of that, they were actually doing well until the other period died and another period came, and then everything began to change. I mean, that's pretty much the same thing that I thought, but I can't find that scripture right now. What you were saying, what verse?
Oh, it should be in Genesis. The death of Jacob was in Genesis chapter 49, verse 28, 29, 30. After he charged them, then he went. Anyway, if you see the exact Bible verse, you can read it. It's hidden there in verse. In chapter 49 of Genesis, when Jacob died, how many years he lived in Egypt before he died? Any other example? We're talking about prophecies in the Bible that God gave and it was fulfilled in the Bible. After we can look back at the history and we can say that yes, this was fulfilled, and we can compare the simplicity of God giving the prophecy and when it comes to pass. How sometimes it's so simple, many people may miss it if they were watching for it. Another one, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, from verse 1 to 10, is another prophecy that Jeremiah gave about Israel being taken captive. Jeremiah chapter 29. From verse 1, it said, now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Let me jump to from verse 4. So Jeremiah was the prophet that was prophesying to the Israelites before they were taken away to Babylon. And now Nebuchadnezzar has taken a bunch of them away, remaining some remnants. But you know, like the Jews always have this desire to, that God is going to deliver them, God was going to deliver them, and kind of a thing. High hopes, we call it, when they were actually forsaking God. But they never thought they are forsaking God. Now, this is what Jeremiah was telling them in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 29. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He sent this as a letter to those that have been carried away captive. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget ye sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Amen. So that was the prophecy. God's pinpoint to them that, hey, don't think you are coming back in a short time. Marry, get children, raise your, no, just live there and enjoy your life. He said, but 70 years before I call you back from that place. And we're going to see where that fulfills. My sister, you have a comment?
Yes, I have one prophecy.
Okay, let me give this one quickly. I mean, where this was fulfilled, we know it was fulfilled after they went, 70 years passed, and then people are in the book of Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah. You will see the story, chapter 2 of Nehemiah, Ezra chapter 1. Actually, the book of Ezra will tell us when God started moving and told a king, look, like, how will that happen? How will God bring these people back? God said he will do it, and he did it. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra is just after Ruth or Chronicles. Now, in the book of Ezra, it said, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia.
Chapter
1 of Ezra. The first chapter. This is how miraculously God can do some things that look like, how will God bring all these people? He sent them away from their land. They were scattered all over Babylon. Will God be able to do this? And God said, I will bring you guys back. And there he was. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. You think God cannot do that? This Cyrus was not worshipper of God as we knew it, but God said, he is my servant. He was not a Jew. because he is my servant. It looked like, how will God do this? We're going to see the other one when God promised that he will bring the Jews back from all over the world. In fact, I was reading that this morning, this afternoon. God said, I will, all the Gentiles will bring your children in their arms.
Yes.
And that is fulfilling itself in this our generation after thousands of years. God said he will do it, he will do it. And it will come in simplicity. That's what we are trying to see, that sometimes when God is fulfilling these things, people will wonder how God is making it. That a king from a Gentile land will just say, God of heaven spoke to me and said, build me a house in Jerusalem. And he was obeying it, calling these Jews to go and build the house. And that's how they started going back. God. Amen. My sister.
Yeah.
You have another one, sister.
In the book of Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4, prophesied about John the Baptist. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Then in Matthew 3, the prophecy came to pass, for this is he, Matthew 3:3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his resume or whatever, and that was the fulfillment of what was prophesied in Isaiah 40:3.
Amen. Please go on that one.
Yeah, quickly just using an analogy here. This is 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Here is what is happening here. The whole land was in drought, there was famine, widespread famine. Let's just use America as a comparison here. The whole America was in famine. Everybody was hungry, and people are eating dog's poop, camel poop, human poop. Some people even started eating their children. That's how bad the famine was in this particular place. Women were eating their own children. And the famine was so bad that there was no food in the whole United States. And God spoke to his servant, Elijah, he said, by tomorrow, there will be such a food in the country that, I don't know, what can we use as a measure here? A bag of rice will sell for $5, or $10. And Obama was there, and the chief of staff was by his side, and the chief of staff said, even if God opens the window of heaven and starts raining food from heaven, and assuming such thing can happen, that it will never happen. How can that be? The whole 300 million people are hungry, and nobody has food anywhere. People are eating human being. Cannibalism was being practiced. What God has said by the word of his servant, by tomorrow, that food will become so cheap that a bag of rice would sell for $5. The point of this story is that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
If God said it, he will do it, and he already has a way made up to do it. How does this happen? Three lepers. People who are, lying there, that's what they call them, right?
Four lepers,
okay. Who were in the city, at a point decided, what the heck, if we stay here, we die. We definitely will die in the city. So the armies of the Syrians or whatever that is camping around the whole city, we just go to them and let them kill us or whatever will happen. But the Bible says that as they were going, they left the city that is besieged. famine, sickness, death. And these lepers were going. He said that God caused it to be like there is a huge movement. The camp of the enemy has such a huge noise as if thousands or hundreds of thousands of armies coming marching against them. They didn't even wait to think what is happening. They took off and ran away. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers ran away, leaving their food behind, leaving their equipment behind, their tent behind, the gold they have, everything they have. They just left it and ran for their life. So the lepers came to the camp, and behold, there was just bounties, miles and miles and miles and miles of bounties. They gathered and gathered and said, we can't carry anything here, it's just overwhelming. So they went and reported it back to the city and said, here is what is happening. So the Israelites came and gathered the food, put it in warehouses, and started selling it just like the word of God has said. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Another point that we should remember is that very man who countered the word of God, when the prophet had spoken in the name of the Lord, he despised the prophet. He saw the impossibility of the situation. He said, there's no way it can ever happen. He said that the people who were fighting to go get the food trampled upon him and he died. Because even as the prophet says, behold, the prophet told him after he made that nasty comment, even if God opens the window of heaven, might this thing be? And the prophet told him, behold, thou shalt see it with your eyes, or shall not eat thereof. So let us beware. When God has spoken, either through his servants or through his word or to our spirit, let us believe him, knowing that with God nothing is impossible.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other example?
This one is I would say live. And Obadiah. Verse 4, and then another. It says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. This talks about the airplanes that we see today, and also the space station, because we see man putting himself up in the moon, in the stars there. So Apollo went to the moon and they have this space station that man was up there. So that is what prophecy that we all our lives in today.
So are you referring to set thy nest among the stars?
Yes.
Because no. I wanted us to don't be too cryptic. You may not understand. I wanted you to expatiate. Can you expatiate by Jesus? Somebody should respond.
He says, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, an eagle doesn't fly way to the stars. One, so that is prophetic. Eagle is obviously something that can fly up into the stars. So we see that definitely looks like some space equipment or airplane and stuff like that man could set up among the stars. If you see one time when the space station, I was in Flagstaff and the space station was on the horizon, I went a lot of time to see it looking like a star in the sky. I'm talking about the space station. So I personally believe that's talking about some of the exploits that man has made into the heavens. I don't know if somebody can, if I pray justice to that.
I mean, I hope you guys understand what my brother is talking about. That that prophecy was simply saying, even if you build yourself all the way to the stars, God said, I will bring you down. And an example that human beings are already getting up there into the stars is what he pointed out about the space station. And there's another example in the of a prophecy that we know has fulfilled itself. in the book of Luke chapter 21, this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave this prophecy to the Jews about how Jerusalem and the people will be scattered. In Luke chapter 21 verse 20 to 24, that prophecy has already been given by Daniel, which we will get to that when we begin to go through the series of the book of Daniel. And Lord Jesus Christ also expatiated on it in Luke chapter 21, which was actually talking about the series of events that will take place. And he told them in verse 20, chapter 21 verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto." Now verse 22 says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Now that vengeance is talking about they killed the Messiah. That was what the vengeance was talking about. It's indeed the days of vengeance. And Daniel has already prophesied that in the book of Daniel chapter 9. Later we get to that when we begin to go through the series in the book of Daniel, where he said the Messiah will be cut off, and the Messiah will not for himself. And then the people of the prince that shall come will destroy the temple. But Christ said it is the day of vengeance. God avenging the Father. And many prophecies later on that. That we know from our, we are looking back at history and say, yes, AD 70 or 70 AD, the Hebrews or the Jews was scattered from that land, and the place became desolate. And Daniel prophesied there will be desolation for a long time. That's another example. Any other one that comes to mind that are prophecies? But what we are trying to do in this discussion today is to see how those prophecies came. Sometime people were looking for one good one that we are going to think about is the prophecy about the Messiah coming. The Jews were expecting the Messiah during the time the Lord Jesus Christ came, but the leaders missed him. And that is what we want to think about. They were expecting that there will be a Messiah. We remember the story in Matthew.
I have one good one if you don't.
Yeah. Before that one, are you talking about this one? This about Matthew when the wise men came, and they came to Jerusalem asking for, "Where is the king of the Jews that was to be born?" And the Bible says Herod called all these priests together and said, "Where will the Messiah be born?" So which means they were also expecting the Messiah, and they actually gave Herod pointer that he was to be born in Bethlehem. As you see in the book of Micah, they quoted the prophecy of Micah. Okay, so they knew there would be a Messiah, they knew he would be born, and he was born. Even wise men came and asked for him, but only few people really followed. Maybe one prophet, Simeon, another woman, and then the rest of the land, they actually just let it pass, just like that. And then when the Messiah started doing his ministry for 30 years, they were still saying, he was expected to come from where? Bethlehem. But what did the Bible say? Bethlehem is where he's going to come out from. He didn't say he will be living there all his life. You see? So you see, I'm trying to make us to see sometimes prophecies which come forth, and people put imagination on what we think is wrong. Remember, you can remember the Bible verse where they were arguing with them. In the Gospel of John, that the prophet shouldn't come from Galilee, and some said the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem, and all of those confusion, and they missed him. Because when God says he's going to come out of Bethlehem Ephrata, he didn't say he will be living there all his life. So, and people can miss things because of that simplicity. And that's another thing we want to, because we get to the prophecies that have not occurred, that we are still waiting for, we have to be watchful and say, don't assume that this is how it's going to come. Many people assume that this is how it's going to come, when it may not really come that way. It's just going to have some similarities. and so that we don't miss it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, my brother said yes. Yeah.
I want us to watch out for this prophecy because it's happening in the churches, it's happening in the rooms, it's happening all over the whole world. And it's the coming apostasy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I read from verse 1. I will try to interpret some of them as we go along. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, that means the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There will be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. In the church, they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are men that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. He said they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Verse 12. Yea, and all that we live godly life in Christ Jesus shall also suffer persecution. These are prophecies detailing about the nature of men at this time we are living. From everything from homosexual acts without natural affection, which we see practiced, even the churches are adopting it and preaching that some churches are agreeing that it's the right way of life, to what the men or women or people of this age will become. So, and the point I want us to notice, it says, behold, know that in the last days, the last time, the ending of the world, that this thing will manifest in such a way that it will be blunt, that it will be clear to all men where we are heading. And these things is happening before us. Children have no natural affection to their own parents again. We really see people who are thankful, obedient to their parents. They will be unholy, they will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters. All these things is happening before us, and the Bible is saying that this is a sign, this is a forerunner that we are at the end of times. And it's good that we take heed, and mostly for us Christians, say some of us will be ever learning without coming to knowledge of the truth. And some people will have godliness, a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. They put on their nice clothes and go to church and sing and praise God and worship. But those things that separate us from the world, that make us clear, a different people, a people set apart, will not be manifest in their life. But they will be in church, they will be fasting, they will be praying, they will be singing, they will be shouting. But their life will not resemble or be a pattern that what Jesus Christ wants us to be. These are prophecies that says we signify the end of times. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask another example. Go ahead.
In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 16. It says, thus said the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were no more. This was fulfilled when the three wise men put the pass on was it Herod?
Yeah.
for the first one, he told them, hey, we send the star where Sibon. They directed the wise men to where the Messiah was born, Jesus Christ. But Herod told them, hey, when you see that Christ, come tell me about him so I can go worship him also. But the Lord told the wise men, don't go back to that fox. He's going to try to kill the child. When he found out later that he was deceived by the wise men, so to speak, he decided to kill all the children from 2 years and below. Rachel, the Bible there says Rachel, because Rachel was Jacob's wife. So it was using, it's a plural talking about Israel. I will see that fulfilling in Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 17, verse 18. It quoted the same thing there. In Ramah, there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and a great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were no more. If in previous verses, you find out what caused Herod to go ahead and kill the children, 2 years old and below, because the wise men didn't come back to tell them where the Christ came, was born, so that he could deceive the quote unquote worship the Christ king.
Praise the Lord. And you can keep looking, comparing these prophecies, the way it came and the way it was fulfilled, and see how simple. Sometimes it's very easy to miss it, and when it's occurring, it's going to be just. Sometimes the Lord uses the same things in the affairs of men. Take for example the one that I just quoted. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in Israel and said, take that child and run to Egypt. And you see God using human help to save the man, the baby child, Jesus. God could have just eliminated Herod, but he didn't do it that way. He used simple things to do his work. The same way God is using simple human beings, he say, he's using us that are earthen vessels to preach the gospel. He said, we are just like pots of clay. He said, he put this glory in earthen vessels. And look at Matthew chapter 24, and let's see the prophecies about the end time that the Lord gave, and how those things are coming to pass. This is a very common one that everybody knows. When he said in Matthew chapter 24, and this gospel, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And yet God is using simple human ingenuity, men like us and all these little men, to go and be preaching this gospel. And you can see it started almost every part of the world right now. The gospel is preached and the whole world is almost known about this Messiah, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel has been preached to all the world. But when he was telling them this, they couldn't imagine, how are you going to preach this thing to all the world? Even the apostles would wonder, because they were thinking he's coming next month, he's coming back next month. They didn't know it's going to be 2,000 years of preaching this gospel to all the world. He just tell them, just go and do what I told you to do. But see, when you look at the prophecy and how it's fulfilling itself in simplicity, you can see that the Lord is using the arms of men to do his work, the arms of men, saving the baby Jesus through Joseph running into Egypt, where he could have done something supernatural. He didn't do it supernaturally. So that is some of the things we should begin to consider as we go into prophecies of the end times. We're going to go into the book of Daniel, not today. We're going to go through Daniel chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 2, chapter 7, where all the dreams and prophecies were reported and the angels gave the meaning. We're going to compare it with how they were going to fulfill. Some of them already fulfilled. The ones that are not fulfilled, that we are looking forward and say it is going to fulfill, but let's not imagine it. Let's not be like the Jews that they were imagining that it's going to be like this when it came like that. So that's one of the reasons why we are saying sometimes God is using the arms of men to do his work. And we're going to point to some of those, especially when you talk of the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. And we have heard about these prophecies for years. In fact, it was written since 2,000 years ago. But it's gradually coming into face. And it's God just pushing men to do those things. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we have to keep our eyes open and keep looking at Jesus. Amen. He is the one that is controlling these things. Because many of us, we have been hearing about these prophecies for 30 years now. Some of us have been hearing about the prophecies we thought is going to happen in the 1970s. And we are still here. Some thought it's going to happen in the year 2000. Y2K. Nothing happened. We are still here. But we have to have our hearts open and look at this prophecy and say, God sometimes works in simplicity. And that is one of the reasons why we said it's wise for us to compare all of these prophecies and see patterns of how God has been fulfilling it. Take, for example, that of Abraham that our brother quoted, when he told Abraham, your seed is going to go into the place where it's not going to be there, and they are going to be serving them for 400 something years, and then I will bring them back. He said, how is he going to bring them back? He brought them back. But he sent a man, amen? He sent Moses and Aaron, and they did simple things that even the Egyptians tried to duplicate what they did. So God didn't do anything so supernaturally. The Egyptians have some that they have learned, mastered, so supernatural things they knew. God just gave Moses something that would be bigger than their own to go and confront them. And so you see God still using human beings to do his work. And that is one of the things, that are simple things we are going to imagine, that God is working in simplicity. And we must be aware of that, not to miss him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And praise the Lord.
I want to read one of John chapter 14. And the simplicity in which we are trying to see some of this here. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, very, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Now, I'm thinking, what greater work, the Lord has done. He has raised the dead. People have raised the dead. Say greater works. Because I go to the Father. When Jesus was there by himself, there's only so much you do within that vicinity. But because he's gone to the Father, we now have a piece of faith for that. We now have the Holy Ghost. And you in your quarter, me in my quarter, we can do the works that together it looks like greater works. But it's him working through us to do the greater works. Because sometimes we think about that scripture, say greater works. How greater a work, how greater miracles that the Lord did can we do? Is it raising up the dead? He did it. Is it lame? He did it. Is it leprosy people? He did it. But in terms of this one fulfillment I see here is in terms of number, because the Lord could at that time, he could, but he restricted himself to where he was at that time. But now, you could be in Yugoslavia, somebody in Nigeria, and over there, he walking towards doing the greater works in terms of numbers. He raised the dead, walked on water. It means somebody could give the nickname for somebody to walk on River Niger in Nigeria. He will walk on River Niger. So in terms of fulfilling, we see kind of this fulfilling because he says, I go to the Father. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me give a comment about that. I'd just like to add a comment to the greater works. The phrase greater works there, and I think as Pastor Peter was speaking, he alluded to something that I wanted to say. I believe the greater, the translation is greater in volume. It cannot be greater in quality, even because whatsoever he did was perfect. It's kind of like, the Bible will say, and in that city there was a great woman, or something, had great substance, so it's kind of like
you know, that word great there means abundance. You know, abundance. So I just want to, and he did allude to that, but I just want to make sure that, because I've heard some people say that, you know, we're going to do greater works than Jesus did, and Jesus did like this, we're going to do like this, so our work will be greater. You know, I think that's silly. You know, we can't, you know, no servant can be greater than his master.
Yeah.
You know, it is sufficient for the servant to be like the master. That's what the Bible says. You know, but it will be greater in quantity because we now have longer time. You know, he only had 3.5 years, and we now have longer time, and if you put it all together, it will be greater in quantity. Praise God.
Super. That is where we're going to wrap it up for today. In just summarizing it, the what I want us to take away for today is the fact that all the prophecies that we have seen in the Bible that have fulfilled himself, we can actually compare one after the other and see how this one fulfilled and see the simplicity, and sometimes how we human beings that are watching for those prophecies could be over exaggerating how it's going to happen, or over imagining what is going to be like. And when it comes, it may surprise people, and that is the thing that the Lord wants us to watch for, so that we don't miss it as when it comes to prophecy. And it's really because we are going through prophecies, we are talking about the end time prophecies. Many people have said there is going to be a mighty revival, a revival. God promises it's going to be a revival. Remember, what is revival going to be like? What is this revival going to be like? And people have imagination and say, well, maybe, wait a minute, is it going to be on TV, on television, on the whole world? We'll be knowing that, oh, everybody is running every skelter. We don't know, but we can just think of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It could also be just among the bands of churchgoers. And when you say the Bible, mostly it's in the churches. But when God begins to perform wonders, it still be among these people. They take it to the streets, of course. But the newscasters may begin to lambast it, and people may not realize that that may be the revival we have been waiting for. So we have to also keep our eyes open when God is doing this mighty revival. He said he's going to send one last revival before he closes up the age. In fact, I heard him in a vision where he said, there will be a third world war. That was the Lord telling me that. But before that third world war, he will send a revival. And I thought about that, oh, revival. Everybody have been saying there will be revival in his church or in the churches, but what are we expecting when we say a revival comes to the bands of believers? And that is one of the reasons why I say when we look through some of this, we may not over expect, not over imagine that this is how it's going to be like, and we expect something like this. Otherwise, we think this is not the revival, and it could have been that revival. So that is an example of what I'm saying as we summarize this. Let's be aware that the Lord works in simplicity, and some of these prophecies that he gave in the past, sometimes they were fulfilled in simplicity. Many times he showed the prophecies, he gave the prophecies, and he used men to just do what he wanted to do. And take an example when he said, didn't the apostles went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the mountain, in the Mount of Transfiguration? The Bible said Peter, James, and John followed the Lord Jesus Christ to that mountain, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured. They saw Moses and Elijah, and they recognized them. This is Moses, this is Elijah in glory. But when they were coming down, the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ, don't tell anybody about this vision until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And the Bible said then they asked him, how come that the scribe said Elijah should come first? They asked Jesus Christ that. What did Elijah answer them? He said, Elijah has already come. And they missed him. Elijah has already come. We saw him on the mountain with you. He said, Elijah has already come. They missed him. They also said, Elijah should surely come back. So two things was, he was giving them two things in that discussion. He said, Elijah has already come in form of John the Baptist. He said they missed him. And well, of course, you may say, well, the scribes went to John the Baptist and said, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. See, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, that was Elijah that was to come before the Messiah. So you see, can see the simplicity how God prophesied and then fulfill it one way, and people miss it and they say, no, he is not Elijah. He said himself, he is not Elijah. So they miss him. Now Elijah that was to come told them, this is the man, we are waiting for the Messiah. They couldn't accept that. See, we have to be wiser than them. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's how we're going to wrap it up. Let's just go into prayer. So I pray that the Lord will give us that wisdom we need in foreseeing these things and in walking in these end times, so that we can walk in this narrow road and please the Master and not miss the day of our visitation, like he said. Let's go into prayer.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we praise you, Lord. Because you told them, you said they missed the days of their visitation. Because they were expecting something great and you came in simplicity. You said the Lord that they were expecting will suddenly come into his temple.
Yes.
And they missed him point blank. But one prophet called Simeon, he carried that little baby in his hand and said, now may my servant go in peace. He saw it because he was following the spirit and not just reading the letter of the word. While the rest were just reading the letter of the word. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray for ourselves and for the body of believers at the same time that you will give us the wisdom we need.
Yes.
And the quickening of the spirit so that we will not miss that which you are going to do, which you are already doing in our time. And that what you plan to do, the mighty revival you are going to send, that we will not miss it,
amen,
but we will be partakers of it,
amen,
and your name shall be glorified. And you open our eyes, Lord Jesus Christ, to see wondrous things out of thy word,
amen,
and to be wise concerning the things of God. Because you said, Lord, only you that can open the eyes, and it is by revelation. So open our eyes, Lord, to see these things. And Lord Jesus Christ, quicken our pace. He said, I pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come upon the world and to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
So we pray for ourselves, Lord, and for the body of believers,
yes,
that we will be accounted worthy to escape all those evil things that shall come upon the world,
amen,
and then to stand before the Son of Man,
amen,
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Amen.
Hey.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have anything else you want to?
Let's just
close the fellowship then. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Have a nice evening. And don't forget, Sunday service is at 10 a.m. by the grace of God.